Stage lights cold as a winter rain. One breath, one prayer, then the world went strange. Crowd froze up when the thunder cracked. Truth on a mic and a life attack. He talked about hope in a storming land. Bible in the heart and a promise in his hands. But a shadow reached from a coward's perch. Cut down a son in the middle of church. And I swear if the tables turned the other way, y'all know there'd be fires in the streets today. But here we stand with candles and a folded flag, begging God for mercy on the road we drag. How dare they steal the breath from a faithful man? How dare they stain the grass where his boots once stained? They call us evil, point at our cross, then pull that trigger and reckon no cost. If it were theirs, there'd be some. Ain't letting go of your hand.
Give that one a second.
Yeah, Bill pretty hadn't, powerful.
Bill hadn't heard that one before. That was just written, actually, by someone or something called Diesel. Is that a? It's a guy, obviously. I don't know if it's a whole band called that or if that's just his nickname, but I'll put the link to the YouTube video of that. It's kind of been circulating. You may have heard it, but I'll put the link to that on today's page. Today is September 14th, 2025. My name is Erin Ryan. You're listening to We the People Radio, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. And in the co-pilot seat, we have
Bill Cundiff.
We're doing everything backwards today. Today is backwards day. So we don't have a backwards week, I guess. Interesting that today's program, actually, the guests for today, I had tried to schedule them. I've been trying to schedule them for about 6 weeks, and there have been things getting in the way. Odd things, you know, things we had to cancel, run some archives. Bill's mom was moving, just scheduling. And so we got this all set up, and on Wednesday, after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, one of my first thoughts was, okay, that's kind of weird. This Sunday, our first hour is about investigating mass shooters, and the second hour is, I had already called it, trans rights are killing us. So, interesting and odd and sort of spooky, but it's time, I guess, we stand up. We either hide. I had people say we should cancel the show. Bad topic, you know, it's dangerous, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yep, nope, no, we're not doing that. We've been at this for 15 years, and we've covered a lot of topics people didn't want us to cover. And we'll keep covering them, actually. So if you would like to go back into the archives, send this to friends. The show is free to listen to, free to send to other people. If you have ideas for guests, if you'd like to sponsor, you can find everything at wethepeopleradio.us, including our phone numbers, because we like to hide right in the open. Our guest this hour, and I'm hoping I'm guessing his name correctly. I believe I pronounce it correctly. If it's Nils Gruvelius. Okay, how'd I do?
Well, I'm fantastic.
Did I get it?
Say hello. You got it. Close enough for government work.
How's that? Oh, no, that's bad. That's bad. That is kind of what I do.
No, it's good. It's like, Nils is like the plural of nothing, lots of nothing, Erin, and I want to wish a good afternoon to you and Bill and everybody in Northern California, Southern Oregon, wherever else people might be listening.
They listen all over. And I have to tell people, I don't want to cheat them out of the backstory here in case they're not looking at the online. You are a private investigator. And you were first licensed as a private detective in 1992. I have it on good authority. Kimberly sent it to me. You got your start as a soldier conducting clandestine security, border and counterinsurgency operations in the Pacific, Mediterranean, and Latin America. And then on a contractual basis, I think is where this gets interesting, you conducted private clandestine operations in various nations.
Well,
I like the various nations.
A man has to earn a living, right?
Exactly. And you are an agent of the Pinkerton organization.
I was. I've been out of the Pinkertons a long time.
Too bad. I was wanting to know how that worked. And you?
Well, I was with them for some years.
So yeah.
We can talk about that. I wanted to give a quick shout out to an old colleague in Reading.
Oh.
There's a man in Reading who's a great civil engineer named Kevin Maple, who was in the anti-tank platoon of 1st of the 58th Infantry a long time ago. And he was a good man, a good hand, and I miss his company every day. And he's within your listenership.
Nice.
So somebody will probably tap him on the shoulder and tell him, Maple, tune in. Yes, a long time ago I got recruited to the Pinkerton service after the Army. And the Pinkertons did everything in Los Angeles that the FBI couldn't do or be seen doing, what the LAPD couldn't contract to do, what the Los Angeles County Sheriff had outside its imprimatur. So we conducted industrial undercover operations and protective investigations, including threat assessment, and keeping unsubs under surveillance, an unknown subject, trying to identify people making threats undercover. We had an old system of clandestine communication in the Pinkerton service that was entirely analog, that dated to the 19th century, that was very useful to us. We had an indoctrination process, and the men and women of the Pinkerton service, when I was recruited, weren't all, former soldiers or military or police or that sort of thing. Some of them were quote-unquote amateurs like Alan Pinkerton was in the 19th century. We had two very attractive, capable Canadian women who worked out of our office. I won't name them because they were clandestine and pretty much everything you could need in a surveillance or pretext operation, protective work, that kind of thing. No one would ever make them as agents of the Pinkertons. We had a lot of very talented people.
Interesting.
That's cool. Well, I know that in the thing that caught my eye, especially, I didn't realize that we would be so fresh off of one of these monumentally horrible event, but this, I don't know if this is from your book or it's a quote from you, but it was in the information I received from your publicist, and it said, "What all mass shooters share isn't ideology. It's a toxic mix of personal grievance and pathological self-pity. They interpret cultural, political, and economic events as personal attacks, fueling delusion and violence. And until we confront the mindset, no policy will stop the next tragedy." And I thought, wow, no better timing.
Those are my words. All of these people are psychopaths, Aaron. And what a psychopath is a man or woman who is bereft of conscience. When Brian Koberger sat in court and listened to the families of his victims give their recitation, that was fully for him. He enjoyed that. To be macabre, he enjoyed every moment of that. He hoped to have a long...
Your signal is cutting out on us a little bit.
Okay. I'm moving closer to a window, Aaron. Is that better?
Okay.
Well, no, I'm in the foothills here, and the infrastructure of California is crumbling. I think you've seen that where you are. And sometimes my city gets in and out. I get a better telephone signal when I'm operating in Mexico and Guatemala than I do in Los Angeles. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
So, yeah, these people all have some characteristics in common. They are all psychopaths. psychopaths have pathological egocentricity. And I'm going to point something out, and this is often the nexus between these transvestite mass killers, assassins, whatever, and the other ones, is the need to be treated specially just to feel normal. And I don't want your listeners to believe that every transvestite is a threat or a mass shooting. But people who have aesthetic self-pity, pathological egocentricity, and a unique sense of personal grievance are a real problem. And the machinery of the left has institutionalized support of this behavior, creates more and more of it, and a greater propensity to violence. People notice that the left has created a rubric that catches all things called professorism. What Aaron, Bill, and Nils discuss in this radio show today would be termed stochastic terrorism by certain people on the left, and what that means is our mere words are violence. They aren't words, they are violence and violent ideas. And so they consider it justified that they take violent action against us when we are merely talking.
Yeah, which is something regular people, I mean, most of us, you know, some people have a short fuse, you know, and they'll start screaming at you or whatever, but they don't run home and grab their 30-06 and race to the top of a tall building. I mean, that just, there's nothing normal about that.
Well, there's nothing normal about that, and I don't think the FBI investigation of this is concluded. I don't want to think that this is part of a network of people who organized the shooting, but it exists within the realm of possibility. I do believe the terrorist assassination that Luigi Mangione undertook last fall, that I believe was part of a network. And have gotten down the Israeli embassy staffers. I think that that's part of, you know, communist organization and direct action, just as Lee Oswald's mission of John Kellis. What Lee Oswald was in 1963 was he was the face of Antifa. And
we're kind of losing you to the point where now it's kind of hard to pick up. How about this? Let's take a quick break, and while we do that, we'll have David maybe call you back and see if we can't get a little bit better signal going on.
Okay.
But I'm kind of putting him under the gun because I just shot him two songs.
Okay.
And oddly enough, the first song is a Kenny Loggins song. You wouldn't think Kenny Loggins would have a song that would fit, but he does. How are we doing,
okay,
David? All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get Nils back on the line. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us.
I'm always speaking my mind when I'm better off by my tongue. I'm a bad joke at the wrong time. Hell, I'm a legend of my own mind. I'm good for some, but I'm not for everyone. Yeah, I'm good for some, but I'm not for everyone.
And that doesn't mean you don't have to listen to us, right? You can change the channel. We've always said that with this show. People are like, well, some people might not like it. I'm like, you can always, always stop listening. We hope you won't, but you might learn something. Nils, do we have you back?
I'm standing by right here.
Ooh, hey, that sounds awesome. Yeah, we were missing some of your good info. Okay, so with these people, like, what did, over your career, you know, I'm sure you saw lots of these people, you know, that are kind of part of this systemic erase the people who speak out kind of movement. I think it's getting more? Are there more of them now? Or we just hear about it more?
Well, obviously it is. I mean, take a quick look at Blue Sky, at some of the postings on there about the attempted assassinations of Donald Trump, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, all of the other direct action that various Marxists have taken. This young man, Mr. Robinson, was radicalized in college, obviously. He was living in some sort of bizarre relationship with a transvestite that apparently was his love interest, not just his roommate. Apparently some of his friends were aware that he was involved in these sorts of things. When I look at the profile of him, Aaron, Bill, what this guy looks like is the idiot gamer kid who sits around smoking dope and eating fast food and making swatting calls on people who he used to be friends with. And this is just another form of aggression here. My belief is he thought he wouldn't be caught. That's how naive he was.
Yeah, because he didn't really have a very solid escape plan. And in a day and age when there are cameras everywhere, you'd think he'd... I think that's what's kind of fueling the idea that he's a fall guy for, you know, some wider narrative.
Well, there are a lot of people who are quick to see that. There is a wider narrative, but it's not that there was a paid hitman who did the hit and he's the fall guy.
Right.
We fell into this trap with Lee Oswald and Sirhan Sirhan, where people create garbage theories about who did the assassinations of the Kennedy brothers, and it was no one other than Oswald and Sirhan. Let me point something out. The man who virtually created the absurdity that the CIA was behind the assassination of John Kennedy was a character named Mark Lane, who wrote a bunch of books about it, trying to absolve the hard left and Oswald for culpability in the assassination of a war hero president. Mark Lane was a communist who ran for Congress in New York, and then the last person that Jim Jones saw down in the jungles of Guyana before he assassinated Congressman Ryan and poisoned 1,000 of his followers and committed suicide was his lawyer, Mark Lane. So you have to follow the networks of the hard left, and it's too easy to just reflexively say they are liberals. They are not liberals. That's like comparing FDR to Joseph Stalin. It doesn't bear any real comparison. Now, the hard left is taking over the Democrat Party. More and more, the party of JFK is now the party of Oswald. You know, they love these guys for their ability to organize, to direct action, to conduct riots on cue. None of these riots take place in cities without city partnership. You're not going to see these riots in places not run by Democrats, because they're counting on the Democrats never really punishing them. And the Democrats want the organization, the fundraising, and the energy. The problem with all this is eventually, you know, it's like teasing a drunken date if you're a young, vulnerable woman. Sooner or later, he's going to want you to remove your clothing and do the deed, okay? And that's what the hard left is now demanding of the Democrats. You'll notice that the Democrats can no longer hold an organic primary. They have to have synthetic ones, because if they hold an organic primary in their nomination process, they probably wind up with a Marxist candidate, someone like Lexi Banana or, you know, AOC or whatever they call her.
Yeah, there are some alternative names there.
Right. So that's where what we're in. And I'll say the opening shots of this insurgency were really all the way back in 1999. You remember the WTO protests in Seattle, where they absolutely inverted the city.
Oh yeah.
And they brought in Marxist jerks from all over the world to riot across the city. Well, the WTO people, the NWO paid them off, gave them all of the money that they wanted for their quote unquote green organizing and environmentalism and all this other stuff. And they just used that money to foment more Marxism. You know? That was the opening salvo. That was the Fort Sumter of what it is that we're facing now.
Yeah, and that, I mean, I don't think most people would connect the dots all the way back, but you're right.
Now, so the hard left crawled in bed with the jihad. The same attorneys who represent the jihadis in Guantanamo and whomever gets captured in Somalia or whatever are the same ones representing Mangione and representing Rodriguez, and they'll be representing Tyler Robinson. Even as the left now declares that Tyler Robinson is a Trump-voting conservative Mormon from Utah, and they'll try to pretend as if they had absolutely nothing to do with this, they're going to defend that boy all the way to the end. They'll be begging for his life. They'll be filing habeas petitions and doing all the usual garbage.
Well, that's going to be a little bit difficult now that they've found this transgender connection with him. Which I kind of suspected from the very beginning that there was transgender ties to this, and they haven't proven it, but give it time.
It just keeps happening. Yeah. I mean, after a while, when it keeps happening, you're kind of an idiot if you don't just recognize.
Well, it reminds me of an old joke from the 1980s, you know, how can you tell that your roommate is gay? Well, I'm not going to repeat the punchline. It's too filthy, okay? You know, this thing speaks for itself.
Yeah.
And Bill is precisely correct here.
Yeah, well, and so when you have, back to that quote you had, you know, the toxic mix of personal grievance and pathological self-pity, and then they're interpreting culture, politics, and economic stuff as personal attacks. So,
that is correct.
And then, you know, the other part of it that I know is kind of being hit ad nauseum, but in a lot of circles deflected, they don't seem to think there's anything wrong with calling people, you know, Nazis or, all this other stuff. You know, you're a fascist and you're a this and that. Well, they feel
kind of justified. Well, it's meant to intimidate you out of participation. It's meant to separate you from your children when your children go off to college. Your children sit there in college and start wondering, is my mom a Nazi? That sort of thing, based on what their idiot professor is saying. These colleges, as Bill Moss said a couple of months ago, these are a-hole factories and we're paying for them. If I were to wage war on this problem, At a fundamental level, I would dry up the money for the. I would do that is, I would remove the student loan guarantees completely, and I would allow students who had been duped into taking $250,000, you know, homoerotic poetry degrees over an 8-year period to bankrupt out their student debt. When the woke bank system takes a beating on this, that will be the end of free money for the universities, and the universities, these douchebag hippie professors who shovel garbage into the minds of our most impressionable youth in the name of education. And we also have to take a much harder look at the Marxist organization of the teachers' unions, top to bottom, from Randy Weingarten all the way down to the municipal level. Every one of these organizations takes in taxpayer money and uses it to buy political people.
Yeah.
It's a money laundry, and we need to go after that. The teachers' unions are a huge problem. They've become a self-regulating hydra. The teachers union here in California, the California Teachers Association, is a Leninist super PAC. That's all that it is.
You're obviously very shy.
I am. I'm blushing right now. I'm turning purple. You've empurpled me, young lady. Bill, stifle that woman and get her to behave herself up there in Northern California.
Way too late for that.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. People are like, you shouldn't say things like that. I'm like, oh, I know people. I know people who go way farther than I do. And I'm like, you are way high on my list. Oh, I wish we could loiter together. That would be so much fun.
Well, here we are occupying their holy airwaves. Can you imagine? There's probably somebody listening, tuning into this right now, who is turning some weird color and running their Prius off the road. They're so upset. They're going to go home and they're going to kick their rescue dog and tell their transnormative obese partner to dye their hair in a fresh new fluorescent color. Because of what they've heard on the air today, all of this stochastic terrorism floating around in the atmosphere.
It's going to get worse, too.
I do need to correct you. It's not a rescue dog. It's a rescue donkey. I mean, we've seen it all.
Yeah, there was one. I might have taken a phone call from someone who was upset they couldn't get into HUD housing because they had a support giant bird. Some kind of giant bird. And I'm like, don't they live in a cage? I mean, like a pet, right? Well, no. Mine gets free run of the house, but I guess it eats the furniture and pecks at the walls. I'm like, okay, well, that'll be a problem for you.
Yeah, decorates the furniture on the regular. Yeah.
Yeah, then there's that.
Yeah, my spirit companion animal, my emotional support animal, is a 14-foot saltwater crocodile. And I've named him Felix, and how dare you not give me preferred seating on my Southwest flight. I'm gonna file an EEOD complaint with the United States Department of the Interior immediately. I can't imagine.
I like that, the Department of the Interior. We are renaming departments. We have a Department of War now. I think a Department of the Interior. I think we, you know what, I'm gonna make a note about that.
Well, I'm the former Undersecretary of the U.S. Department of the Interior. I joined up from there. I used to be the director of amphibious sales at Chappaquiddick Oldsmobile after they laid me off from that outfit. I mean, we had a little problem. We were losing blondes in the pond. I mean, you know.
I think our engineer just fell out of his chair. you know what? We needed, you know, I think the world needed a break today. I was thinking this was going to be super serious. I had no idea. I should have known, though. Okay, just fair warning. I looked up your books and I put them on the site because I thought they were fun and I thought we should promote them, right? And so I did.
Well, I have a much better book coming out. The old books are trashy crime fiction, and some people live on trashy crime fiction. I've written my professional memoir entitled The Last Lawman. And The Last Lawman will be printed in June of 2026 by Post Hill Press. And it's all about, working in the DMZ in Korea and rounding up fugitives after the army and some of the work I did in the Pinkerton service, going hard up against confidence men and extortionists and things like that. I think it's worthy fodder. I think it's a very well-written book, and I wrote it myself. That's a big difference between me and General Colin Powell. General Powell couldn't write his own professional memoir, but I executed mine top to bottom, stem to stern, and I think your listeners will like it, even if they hate reading books.
Oh, well, we'll have to promote the heck out of that and obviously have you back on. Well, the reason I mentioned that was when I was on, I clicked on Amazon because I wanted to get the cover art and post it. And it said here, never won much for convention. Grevilleus took a job in a saloon at the age of 13 and gravitated away from school, eventually dropping out. And I was like, this is going to be really awesome.
Well,
I just thought, really, nobody can say that.
Well, my mother used to say to me, and my mother was a ruling class American female of the liberal persuasion. Her family were part of the Canadian-American industrial aristocracy. She used to tell me, you are the least accomplished male in either lineage of your family. You have nothing to be proud of.
Wow.
She broke 3 hair brushes over my head before I was 5. I will have you know. But no, it's okay. She was a Sweetbriar girl and everything. Bless my mother. She was a criminal defense attorney and a very accomplished one. I mean, if you were up on charges for murdering 2 people in the walk-in cooler of a liquor store, she's the kind of lady you want representing you. I mean, she'd, you know, stay up late, do her homework, swear you were innocent even when you obviously were not. And she didn't compromise, and she died almost broke and all of these things because she was a true believer. My parents were both unique individuals. My father infiltrated KKK and citizen council groups in Arkansas in the 50s during the forced integration of the Little Rock Public Schools. He was a Marine Corps veteran of 2 wars, and he was one of those guys who had no fear of any man, but he terrified of the IRS.
Oh.
Yeah, sure. I mean, our government has a unique talent for smashing the best of us, right? Well, we all have to become a little more ungovernable, as they say, indigestible, maybe. And one of the things I wanted to say earlier when we were on break was there are no more civilians, okay? The hard left isn't treating us as civilians as far as they're concerned. You're a legitimate target, Aaron, Bill.
Yeah.
They'd kill you. They'd kill your family. They'd take everything that you have. They'd plow your gravestone under so no one would know where you were or that you ever even existed, okay? So there's no reason to censor your opinions, no reason to walk on eggshells. Don't wear their leash ever,
Yep. Is
my instruction to my friends.
I agree with that 1,000%. And anyone who thinks that being quiet and they don't even have to capitulate, but like I saw it in our congressional town halls, the left was absolutely insane. I mean, just some of the things were just insane. You know, a guy, I'm a Mexican American. How long do I have to carry around this driver's license to feel safe or whatever? It's like, what are you talking about? We all have to carry it around. We're driving. Like, you got to carry it around until you quit driving, you goofball. But
right.
Just
it's
shrieking.
It's performative theater. It's performative theater.
And they're not paid. That's the other part of it. So people were like, oh, well, they were all busted and paid. Well, that's nice. That's what we tell ourselves. But these were not. These were people who live in our community. And the hard part was the good people there either got up and left. I get it. You don't want to hear somebody F you somebody for 90 minutes. I get it. But they got up and left, or they didn't stand up and take their turn at the microphone and speak. So it looked like 100% of the participation, and you see this across the country. So then what do? They say, everybody thinks like this. Not true.
Well, Aaron, I'm going to differ a little bit with you. Mm-hmm. Just a little. Most of these people are paid, and we're paying for them.
Well, okay.
We're paying for them through the SEIU, the California Teachers Association, and all these garbage NGOs, the
Excellent
High Speed
point.
Rail Authority, that sort of thing, lines their pockets with our money. Without public dollars, there is very little leftist organization in this country. That was the purpose of the WTO protest, was to get governments and multinationals and Fortune 500 corporations to pay them extortion. All right?
Yeah.
So my response is go to hell. All right? So
Big fan.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
because honestly, that's going to, well, that'll probably take care of itself. We have to take a really quick break, though, and then we're going to come right back.
All right.
We have such good signal, it's like we just want to talk forever. But our guest is Nils Gravilius, and you should stick with us. You can find this after the fact. Send it to friends and family at wethepeopleradio.us.
You've been talking in your sleep, and it's been boring. going on for weeks, and I've been solving puzzle pieces. High time to come to Jesus. You got skeletons in your closet, spitting all over your face. Every little lie stacked so high, can't keep your story straight.
You see, tough times don't last. Tough people do. Tough people pull themselves up by the bootstraps when they hit hard luck, and they stay strong, and they keep on fighting like they don't know how to lose.
And that's always been true. Always been true. So as you watch all this stuff, Nils, what's your I don't know, prognosis, I guess? Or
we're going to see more of this: bombings, assassinations, and kidnappings. We're in a Marxist insurgency.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take action to separate them from their money, because once we separate them from their money, they're close to being disarmed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start prosecuting the organizations which foment riots in the cities. I would go after the Portland and Seattle Antifa with a vengeance. Not for lawful protests. They're not doing lawful protests, but for the riots, for the
burning buildings down.
Yeah, for the arson, for the looting, for the vandalism, for assaulting people in public, and ruthlessly go after them and go after their political partners in government, the people paying for it, the people excusing it, the people declining to prosecute, that sort of thing. We have to do this. We're going to wind up like Argentina if we don't. Not just with a Peronist economy, but with a Peronist infrastructure. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Bill.
Well, I was just going to say, to go a step further, I think people need to stop doing business with companies that have these views, that sympathize with these views. Just stop doing business with them. And you know, that they'll feel right away. When people stop spending their money there, they'll have to figure out, you know, there's got to be a better way to make a living, because people need to walk away from this, and that ideology is just too dangerous.
Well, Bill, I agree with you. I want to point out for your listeners that just a few years ago, if you had shared the wrong opinion supporting Charlie Kirk and denouncing the assassination and things like that on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, that sort of thing, you'd be canceled. You'd lose your account.
Yeah.
Thank God that Elon Musk took over Twitter, and that Donald Trump confronted Mark Zuckerberg. Otherwise, we would be much further down the road of complete repression.
Yeah. Well, there are the two biggies, but there's also, you know, there's a lot of websites out there that spew this garbage, and young people are listening to it, and
yes,
they listen to it a lot, and
mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the only view they really hear. Well,
who are the advertisers, right? Look at where you're shopping, you know. Are you, you know, Target lost me decades ago. You know, they were what, anti-gun, I think, was the first place they drove off the trail. You know, Dick's Sporting Goods. There's all these businesses that actually go directly against things that people believe in, and yet they give them their money.
Well,
I broke up with my hair cutter. She didn't vote. I was like, oh, you don't vote? Well, I never went back. I'd been going there for like 15 years.
I
guess I'm kind of mean.
Okay, I'm rather cruel myself. I agree with you all those things, but we also have to take direct action. The bankers who deplatform people, kick them off
yes.
their bank accounts,
yep.
need to be prosecuted. They need to lose their banking charters if they persist, things like that. we can't stand down for any of it. When does the left rest? When do they take a break?
Yeah.
All they do is just change tactics. When it's to their political benefit, they stage riots and arson and looting and all that. And the next day they come out dressed like little Bo Peep and pretend like they're concerned kindergarten teachers. But it's the same people. The ACORN is Occupy, is Free Palestine, is No Kings. It's all the same Marxist hydra. And the man at the top of the food chain for all that in this country is a former president named Baby Lord Husseino.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's their chief organizer. He started the Ferguson riots in 2014 to try to drive Democrat turnout in the midterm elections. His organization created the fiction that Michael Brown was murdered by a Ferguson police officer.
See, that
and they
was
were
the,
set like a coiled spring. Go ahead,
that,
Bill.
That,
I'm sorry,
that,
I never
was the,
you.
That was the gentle giant you're talking about, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to point out that Darren Wilson, the officer who had to defend himself that day, lost his job, lost his career.
Yes.
He paid a huge price, right? And Baby Husseino struts away shamelessly. Him and his idiot wingman, Eric Holder. You know? I'd have Eric Holder in front of a federal grand jury. You know, that man was found in contempt of Congress. Didn't Bannon go to prison for contempt of Congress?
I don't think. Oh yeah, Bannon did. Yeah.
And so did Peter Navarro.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Paul Manafort. Okay. We need to rent relentlessly, ruthlessly, regularly hold them to the standards that they claim they uphold. Merrick Garland is another man in contempt of Congress. And I keep goosing my friends in the Justice Department, demanding to know when Merrick Garland answers for his crimes. He's the man who would get up to the microphone and mouth the words, "No one's above the law." Well,
oh, yeah.
Put that to the test. You know, put this in front of a federal grand jury somewhere other than D.C. or New York, and see what happens to this man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you have all the. You know, Brennan and Clapper, and the list is long.
Yes, and you can't do it in D.C. because their mates will just acquit them in advance. You know, when John Durham sat down to investigate Crossfire Hurricane, they had pushed every single thing over into the counterintelligence realm at the Bureau and denied him access to 90% of the material related to it. And wouldn't allow him to impanel a grand jury anywhere other than D.C.
Yeah.
That's why you wound up with such a weak result from Durham's work.
Yeah, and I kind of had high hopes for him. He seemed like a pretty straight guy.
I don't think he's a bad man. I think he was handcuffed top to bottom, start to finish.
Yeah.
And not just by Merrick Garland, also by Bill Barr.
Mm.
Okay, Bill Barr is another one who can stand in front of that grand jury and give some sworn testimony.
Yeah, I think they all need to be held accountable.
I completely agree.
So, in your storied career, looking at all these different things, why? Why did you wind up doing this? What? Why was this your basically your life's work?
Well, it's like this, Anne. I was always the worst student in every school that I ever attended.
So hard to believe.
They have a tendency to bore me, and when I get bored, I'm somewhat destructive. Right? I get bored in the army, and I have a few drinks, and next thing you know, I'm shooting my mouth off at the wrong time to the wrong person, that kind of thing.
So this isn't something that just happened later in life?
No, it's kind of strange. It's super weird. I've always been this kind of man. When I was 6 years old, I was this man. So I wanted a job that would be emotionally and intellectually satisfying. And intensely kinetic, where I would never be bored, and I didn't have to report to Gracie Pence. I was briefly tempted to become a police officer, but when you're a cop, you're at the mercy of bastards in suits. You're in the political winds. I am completely insulated from politics as a private operator. You can call me a Hessian if you like. I'm happy to be that Hessian, all right? But, like, if I worked at a bank, Bill, I'd just sit there all day fantasizing how to tunnel in over the weekend. So it's much better that I am this.
Yeah. I really relate to that. The idea of doing the same thing every day kind of freaks me out, actually.
Sure, you know, I could do it for a while if I had to support my family. You know, I'd do anything to support my, my kid, that sort of thing. I have a son who's a combat medic in the Army, you know. If I had to live under a freeway bridge and eat canned dog food so that he didn't have to, I'd do it. But I don't have to do that. And Los Angeles is the world's greatest collection, concentration, if you will, of people who are simultaneously hostile, delicate, and wealthy. Mm-hmm. And they always need somebody like me to hold their bacon out of the fire.
Wow.
It's probably true, too. It seems like you would be really well suited for a place like New York.
Well, I've been there many times.
Yeah, temperamentally, you know, you could blend in New York.
Well, I don't blend in Los Angeles. I'm a beautiful man, you know. Fabio is afraid to share the stage with me. You know?
I just want to come to Thanksgiving at your house.
Well,
I want to be related. Can we be related?
You'd have to contend with my liberal sister. My sister moved in with me. She's a great woman. She's a former banker, that kind of thing. And we have arguments all the time about politics and culture and that sort of thing. She and her husband lost their house in that big Altadena fire.
Oh.
What do we get here in California? Let me point something out. We've spent, what, $40, $80 billion on this ridiculous bullet train 17 years later. Not one inch of track has been laid in this
state.
High-cost
rail.
And they're wanting more money.
But Bill is exactly correct.
Yeah.
And I wanted to share with you the certainty that Walt Disney laid more track in Anaheim in 1953 than these SOBs have laid in 17 years. Okay?
Guaranteed.
Yeah, positively. And the purpose of it was never to build a train. We fall into the trap when we say, well, when are you going to build the train? Is it ready yet? You know, is it going to be high speed or low speed? They were never going to build a train. The purpose of it was to loot you, was to pick your pocket, and to reward their donors. That was the sole purpose of the quote-unquote bullet train.
You know,
it's garbage.
I heard a while back that they were going to audit that whole situation and find out where all this money went. Where'd that ever go?
I think the auditor got kidnapped and taken to Mars or something. Bill, it's super weird that you'd ask. I think Gavin Newsom is going to have Rob Bonta work on figuring out where he went any minute now.
I feel so much better now.
Right.
Because that's likely to happen. They're not calling you?
I'm radioactive as far as they're concerned. I'd love to work on it. If somebody came up with the money for me to work on it and gave me the power of subpoena, I'd go to work on it. I would. It hasn't happened yet, but I guess it could. Maybe I'll run for county sheriff in Los Angeles. Maybe all of California needs a
sheriff. We might move down there just to vote for you. Yeah, because because the list is pretty awesome, like kidnapping, robbery, homicide, assault, hijacking, extortion, workplace theft, mass tort, conflict of interest, investigations for a variety of clients, including industry, private trusts, law firms, financial institution, and private parties. So it's kind of like
all-purpose BI. Government too. Yeah, somebody has to do this work. I don't do cheating husbands. By the time an insurance company is calling me to handle a claims investigation, it's because they're already lit on fire and in a desperate corner. and I charge them a premium. You'd be amazed, Bill, Aaron. I'm the guy who gets a premium from the insurance company. They hate calling me.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, I can do the work. In fact, if I was to give him the authority to conduct that kind of investigation and the funding, I would get all of the Brady List sheriff's deputies in Southern California and go through and separate out the ones who aren't physically fit, and that would be my task force.
Nice.
All of the ones that the left says can't be trusted with police matters.
Yeah, you're like, I want those guys.
Those are the ones that I want.
Nils, I can't believe we only had you on for an hour. I knew this was going to be a bad idea. We have to do this again.
We will be
contacting you soon.
Well, how about I fly up there next time and sit in the studio with you, too?
Oh, my God, that'd be so great. We'll assemble a crowd outside the studio for you. Angry Mob one, though.
No, I like Angry Mobs.
I do,
all about the Angry Mob, okay? So
all right.
You guys have a fantastic day. I want to thank you for giving me the privilege of sharing the airwaves with you.
Appreciate
you
coming on.
Thanks a million. We will talk soon.
Thank you.
Somebody gotta shake things up. Somebody gotta shut things down. Somebody gotta strike a match, break the ice about the first round. Somebody gotta go all night. Somebody gotta dig down deep. Mean what they say, say what they mean.